There's only a couple of words more.
Yeah,
it started right here. Mr. Davis. Yeah, it's going 4 miles. A little more than our 2 weeks ago. I thought we had a red hand break. Yeah. Well, he went.
Nobody here while they started
smoking.
Oh, you're sitting over here.
I'm sitting over here so I can see everything. I'm going to call a meeting for the Order of the Budget Committee of the City of Newport and the Newport Urban Renewal Agency. First, we'll have Peggy take roll.
Davis?
Here.
Sawyer?
Here.
Greenstein?
Here.
Swanson?
Here.
Boronash?
Here.
Salem? Oh, he'll be here around 6:30, sorry. Patrick? Romagu?
Here. Patrick indicated that you will not be here tonight.
Smith? Anyone heard from him?
He like, is doing track if I will get in here.
Beamer?
Yep.
Allen?
Here.
Easter? Busby?
Here.
And Webster?
Here. First order of business is the approval of the minutes from 2013, not 2014, Ralph. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion or changes, additions, deletions? What, David?
There are a couple minor things that I wasn't going to bring up. I was just going to show Peggy afterwards. So I don't want to take up time.
All those in favor of approving the minutes, please raise your hand. Thank you. Today's meeting is our third meeting and hopefully final meeting. We'll have some time now just to review where we were last week. We got through all 64 items. We got discussion. Those some of the ones at the end when we keep a fade. It's good to kind of just think about what we want to talk about. So right now, are there any final questions, issues you want to raise about the supplemental information? It was a lot to digest. Spencer and I have ideas of how to do this better next year.
Well, I thought it went very well this year. I wasn't complaining.
We will have time for that, but I just want to make sure that there was. We are going to discuss the long-term issues that we brought up throughout our discussion last time, and also we'll talk about process later. Laura,
where in this process this evening do we put in things that we are still concerned about, even though they didn't make it into the budget?
I suggest we do them when we go through Spencer's summary of the process, because he took all those issues that we kind of kept identifying and he grouped them into different areas.
Well, the one I was concerned about is not grouped where I can see it.
Let's bring it up then, and so it gets into the parking lot.
Okay, thank you.
So, at this point, I will continue the public hearing on the 2014-2015 proposed budgets for the City of Newport and the Newport Urban Renewal Agency. First order is a presentation by Lincoln County Transit. Is that Cinda?
Well, I actually wasn't prepared to do a formal presentation, but I did want to make myself available in case any of the council or budget committee members had any questions or concerns regarding the Newport Loop program.
At your place, there is a report that Cindy produced, so could you just walk us through the report?
Sure. Well, I put together, or with the help of Linda Neigebauer, a brief history of the program and how we came to begin the Newport City Loop. And that happened back in 2006 when I saw an article in the newspaper from the city council meeting with concerns about parking in the Night Beach area and on the bayfront. And from there, we started a committee with both of those organizations and people from the city. There was a whole table full of people. And the first year we did a free shuttle. I found some funding to do a free shuttle, and it was very successful. And from there, we built the program to what it is today, which is a 10-hour service, 7 days a week. Also in the packet, you'll see some ridership. The ridership numbers are for the calendar year of 2013 and then 2014 through April, because of course that's the last statistics available. We've been great partners, and I hope to continue working with you all.
Cindy and I talked a little bit tonight about the cost of the shuttle, and some years ago we kind of figured that $75 an hour was a good number for the cost of the shuttle. She has recently done an entire evaluation of the expenses, and it comes out to $74.88 an hour. So our guesstimate those years back that we've been using is actually what it does cost.
I'm hoping you're not going to ask for a refund
of the 12 cents, right. And another thing that is not included in your packet is information on the costs for the loop right now. Saturday and Sunday adds 1,040 hours to the schedule. Weekdays, an additional 2 hours, adds another 520 hours to the schedule for a total of 1,560 hours. And that is additional hours in a above the 8 hour a day, 5 day a week dial-a-ride that was put into this program. There used to be two dial-a-rides in Newport, now there is one. The one dial-a-ride was 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That was the base for the loop. To keep it weekends and make it 10 hours a day adds that 1,000, I'm sorry, you have to forgive me, I am still recovering from surgery, so my mind doesn't work very well. They give you a lot of good meds, let me tell you. Spine surgery, and I'm down to about, I'm less than half of what I started with. So I'm doing really well, but what I was given was 10 times a day what I normally take. So my brain doesn't always function the way it should. And I don't get to drive. Chief will be glad about that. I've been off, my surgery was April the 7th. I see the doctor again the end of this month, and with my reduction of pain medications and his examination, hopefully my spine will be good enough to drive again. But spine surgery is not the most fun thing. You stay home a lot, but that's okay too. Anyway, this would be an additional 1,560 hours that are added onto the dial-a-ride at $75 an hour is $117,000. And with the city has been putting in is $90,000. If you look at your information, there is information on no fee for the bus service for the different events. We have the NOAA grand opening, the clam bake that they did for 3 years, the American Legion Convention. And I didn't realize that for the Newport Marathon, they've asked for 4 buses this year. And this is no charge to the city. And if there was a charge, it would be 24 hours at $75 an hour for $1,800, plus $200 for administrative support to get the schedule together. So there's a $2,000 gift from Transit to the city of Newport. And they never hesitate. When you ask for a bus for something, whether it's NOAA, whether it's the Bridge 75th birthday, whether it's American Legion, Know Your Newport, any of those, Transit does not hesitate to give that money. On that same page, yes.
Can I interrupt just for a second? I've worked on several, in other places, several of these kinds of events, including running events and so forth. In every case, the bus service bills the event.
No.
I know you don't.
No.
But
every place else.
Do.
Oh, she should know that. No, yeah, not send
you would be,
not
you would be, you would be well served to do that, at least minimally. You know, no. You know, it wouldn't have to be
The money from our marathon goes to the high school athletic programs.
I know where it goes, but I'm just saying.
And Newport contributes $90,000, or has historically contributed $90,000 a year for this service, and it's a great partnership. We have great relations. We work together on little tweaks that need to be made, and I'm just pleased as punch with our partnership.
And so from the
talking, I think there's a lot of comments and questions.
I know that they have increased the runners because they're doing electronic timing. They couldn't do that without the bus service that's being provided. They could not provide all that transportation. And I'm sure that nobody wants to eliminate any of the opportunities we have for that. That's a great thing to share. It's another good in kind thing if the marathon's ever looking for funding and grants to use that amount as an in kind contribution.
Anything else?
Do you see that the Confederated Tribes also participate to the tune of $241,000? That is for a 10-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week.
6-day-a-week.
6-day-a-week. So, opportunity for the kids to go to the community colleges. So that selects to our community college here in Newport and the one in Lincoln City. So that, again, is $75 an hour. Well, that's it.
So I had David, Dr. Beamer, and Annie Grout.
You're probably too young for hot flashes.
David.
So one of the reasons you're here is I suggested it last budget committee because, as you know, last year, out of that discussion we had, there was a lot of support from the budget committee and then the council in June of last year when we adopted the budget. But I recall during that budget adoption process at the council level, I requested that you meet with city staff and put together an intergovernmental agreement to kind of outline the scope of services, how the money's going to be used, and maybe just, you know, a periodic reporting back to the council and the city on what's transpired, similar to what we do with the chamber and with OCCC, with Oregon Coast Council for the Arts, with their agreements. I think what happened was, given the transition with city staff, that never happened, so I brought it up to Spencer, and he mentioned that he was going to contact you, Cinda, and put together that agreement just to outline, you know, the money, how it's being used, and just other related issues. So that's
sure.
The only reason why you're here tonight is just to report to us, similar to what we require of other organizations.
And I definitely agree with that, and that just kind of got by us all.
Yeah.
So I have no issues with that. In fact, I encourage it also.
Okay, good.
And
that's
you
all
guys met last week, didn't you?
I'll follow up on that. What I remember rather than the intergovernmental agreement was I remember us asking for information like we have now. But before now, and actually it came up when this came up to the last week's budget meeting, I said, we never got the information. And I said, well, I know a way to get the information from them. Take it out of the budget. And then when you come and say, hey, what do you mean you're not giving us any money? Well, we asked for this information last year, we didn't get it. So that's what I would have done. I have two slight, I'm going to say, one's a question and one's a correction. Under funding from the City of Newport, it says 2013, 2014, nothing. Didn't you get money last year? That's this year's budget.
I don't think they've billed yet.
Yeah. No, we haven't billed yet. We are in the budget.
It is in the current year budget. They
yes.
have not been paid.
Okay.
And I have to admit, I don't remember what the amount, final amount was.
It was 90.
I think
90.
We ended up with 90.
Yes.
The other thing is, we made an assumption about the marathon that the last people did. You got three buses June 2013, four buses June of 2014.
Yes.
That'll be a little late. The marathon occurs on the first Saturday after Memorial Day. I believe if you look at the calendar, the first Saturday after Memorial Day is probably the last day of May.
It is. Okay. Well, we are scheduled to
just a minor thing, but David picks these up all the time.
I didn't actually pick that one up.
You're
good. I was like, counting the calendar.
Well, I'm on.
I know you are.
I'm very involved with boosters. And what the ex-banker suggested down there isn't a bad idea. Boosters could afford to pick up some of the money, the cost of the buses.
So you think we should charge them?
There's still money, still lots of money to pay to pump into the high school sports, et cetera. So it's something worth considering for next year. We've already promised this year.
Okay. Just to follow up on this comment, you know, when I mentioned the agreement, what I was anticipating back when Jim was our city manager was to have that agreement outlined reporting back to the council. So that would have encompassed that, but I think things fell through the cracks, and it wasn't until just last month where, you know, folks started realizing, yeah, we did provide the money, and we've heard from other groups, but not you. So that's the only reason why you're here tonight, is because of things did fall through the cracks. And, you know, it's not anyone's fault or responsibility. It's just something that we probably need to pay more attention to from both ends, the city as well as the transit district.
And we have been providing the same level of service.
Oh, I agree.
Okay.
It's more of just a reporting issue.
Okay.
I think part of this is, and my comments, but are not directly concerned of the budget committee, because we have approved this, but I think there is real concern about the ongoing operations of the Loop bus in terms of ridership. It's flat, if not slightly decreasing. There's issues around how is it marketed and advertised. If we're investing in this, we want to see it be a very robust service. I'm probably one of the few that actually takes one of the buses on a regular basis. So I'm not saying don't do it, but just like with Fred's comment, how are you looking at your business model? And we will probably not be able to ramp up any support, and this cost will probably ramp up. How are you going to backfill that? So I think these are just general questions for me of how you do, what is your business model? How do you make decisions? When you decide not to charge back to an event, is that just you making that decision? As somebody who's investing in the service, we want to see it being run well, and so it serves the city well.
Well, when I started working here 26 years ago, there was one van that went to each area of the county one day a week. Shortly after I started, we couldn't even run that one van because we couldn't get insurance, because we were all total volunteer drivers. The program budget at that time was $35,000 total. It's now about $2.5 million. We have 19 buses. We provide intercommunity and intercity and local transportation. I'm proud of our system, and I've worked hard to make it what it is.
And I think it has is, and it's good. I love the Coast Valley. But
good.
We also do need to look at how well is it serving our city residents. So Laura and then David.
Yeah, every time there's an election, the newbies get tours all over the place. And I would love a tour of a bus route.
We would love to have you.
Yeah, so in the January or whatever, they'd like to draft it in November, I guess. So I just count myself a newbie. I would love that.
You know, if I would have been thinking, I would have brought some of our Newport City Loop tokens and passed them out to you all, so you all could have had a ride on one of the buses. And I can still get those to the city, so that any of you who would like to take a test drive and give me your input, good, bad, or you know, something we can improve on, or something that you like.
Here's your pass.
I would appreciate that.
Cindy, you know, last year at budget time, I got some tokens from your department through Fred.
Oh, very good.
And I did distribute one at each place.
You did.
I still got one.
And
some of them.
Along the same ideas to get folks to experience it and then have some input.
But you know, Chuck, people like to keep those as souvenirs, so you really needed to pass out two apiece.
My problem is, I come from a small town where we walked, rode horses, whatever.
Wow.
Buses, taxis.
You know, I was actually born in Newport, so I'm a native of Newport, Oregon. And we didn't have a bus service in Lincoln County until 93.
The NAT?
Wait a minute. The NAT was a little bit before that. You're right.
And it was convenient to the locals.
David, and then Dick, and then we'll probably wrap it up.
So what a suggestion is, since you didn't have a lot of time to prepare for tonight, I also mentioned, since I'll use the Chamber and the Oregon Coast Council for the Arts as examples, they provided fairly comprehensive presentations to the City Council last month in preparation for next year's budget. So we do have, at the council level, the adoption of the budget next month. So I would suggest, if you have some time, to maybe put together some additional information for the council as part of the public hearing we'll be conducting to adopt the budget, and make your presentation then, and maybe follow up on some questions you've heard tonight, and we can do that more formally at an evening meeting.
Okay.
I'd like to see the statistics, ridership statistics for the Coast of the Valley ridership. I recognize what we're funding is applied to this mostly, but it's all one big interconnected thing.
Actually, there's very few, there's only like three of our buses that don't touch Newport, and that's the Lincoln City Loop, the Lincoln City Dial-A-Ride, and the new Lincoln City to Grand Ronde service. So those are the only three buses that do not touch Newport.
I'd like to see all of them, just to compare and see how ours compare.
You mean all, not just Coast Valley?
Yeah, mostly Coast Valley. And
okay.
But I think it'd also be interesting to compare the Lincoln City Loop to here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think longer term ridership, you gave us mm-hmm. 1 year, and so I think looking at those trends would be good. Any other comments for
Just one. Being the old banker in me. I see this funding for Lincoln County Transit Services comes from, and then there's a list of several things here, most of which don't have any numbers on them. And I'd be curious to know how much the Oregon Public Transit Division contributes to your program. And I also like to know how much tax money you get from Lincoln County.
We get 9.74 cents per thousand. Less than the animal shelter.
Do the math for me.
No.
Do the math. Give us the.
That's what we got. That's
it's,
what we're at.
It's.
Okay. But I think that might be something that we could incorporate into the council report.
Right.
Because one thing that would be helpful for us too is to understand kind of financially how the transit is structured and how this piece fits in.
And Spencer, since they are a governmental entity, so to speak, I mean, they have their own actually separate budget and a budget officer separate from the county, even though they're part of the county.
We're a special district. Yes,
right.
It has changed, though. Not a budget made by transit anymore. It's all included in the general.
I know, but there's still a...
No, we don't get any general fund money.
But it's still a separate jurisdictional entity. It would be some type of intergovernmental agreement that we would be entering into with them, which I think would kind of outline all these issues we've been talking about tonight.
Sure. And that 0.0974, that's the initial one that was established in what year?
2006.
And was that a new one, or did that replace
that? That's the only tax base that has ever existed.
So I think, thank you, Sandra, very much for pulling this together, and I think the council will be wanting to have a more robust discussion and report.
Thank you.
So you can be working with Spencer on that.
Okay.
We appreciate
thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Spencer, who's going to walk us through his memo to the budget committee.
Okay. Just a quick walkthrough of the materials that we distributed tonight. Talk a little bit about what we accomplished today with the budget committee. First of all, on page 17 of your packet, I have a memo that discusses kind of where we're at in the budget process. As you recall, at the April 30th budget committee meeting, we conducted a page-by-page review of the budget, and then on the May 7th meeting was an opportunity for us to respond to issues that came up from that page-by-page review of the budget. And there were 64 individual budgetary issues where additional information was requested, and as we went through each of those items, there was an opportunity to make motions to make changes to the proposed budget. The changes that were made to the proposed budget as a result of May 7th review included the deletion of $5,000 from the City Council Department for election services. We had money in two places for that. Deletion of funding for conducting a Parks Master Plan study which affected the general fund, FCC fund, Parks and Recreation fund, and the room tax fund, as well as several corrections that that we requested that the committee make. There are two additional things that I'd like to talk a little bit about that I would ask the budget committee to consider doing. One of the things that I did not do when I reduced the position from the community development budget, I did intend to put some additional money into the budget for additional professional services that would be required if we didn't hire that staff person. That amount was $20,000. The second issue that the budget committee brought up that we didn't have a report prepared for you last week was on the debt service funds. And if you take a look at the debt service funds on page 58 of the packet, there's a report in there, and the question was, are our reserves, do we have surplus reserves in the debt service funds? And the answer to that question is that we do have surplus reserves in the debt service funds. And again, any reserves in the debt service fund can only be used for one purpose, and that's paying debt. If you turn to page 60, there's a report that Bob Gazewood put together here, and I'd like to just explain the basic three columns. If you're looking at page 60 and you see column E, you can see that the total proposed budget that that we've been reviewing has total requirements to pay debt for this year of $2,597,849. And that's column E, and that's the total between the three debt issues. We did take a look at, again, what the required fund balance is, and we came up with two options. The option we're recommending that the budget committee go with is represented in column J. In column J, what happened in that, or how that's been calculated is we took the surplus and we divided that surplus by, there were 5 years of debt left in that thing. We took one-fifth this year, one-fifth next year, one-fifth all the way through, which would kind of level out that debt payment and would benefit, it would lower our debt retirement through the life of that bond issue, as well as the second bond issue, which was divided out over the, I think, 15 years of that issue. And if we ended up doing that, that would lower our requirements there by $2,376,705. So that's about a $220,000 reduction from what we had in the proposed budget, and it would keep our millage rates for supporting debt lower through the life of those bond issues. And so instead of requiring a debt millage based on our estimate for the assessed valuation of 2.3628 mils, this would require a debt millage of 2.1616 mils. So it'd be a couple tenths of a mill reduction based on column J. So that's the option that we're recommending. The second option that the committee could consider is represented in column H. And in column H, this is if we took the entire surplus and we spent it this year and reduced the millage in a one-year period. That would reduce our requirements to $1,825,000. But the next year it's going to bounce up to an amount higher than it would be under the J scenario. So we'd have kind of a seesaw effect going on with their bond rates. And so in Bob and I, in reviewing this issue, we are recommending that we adjust the columns based on the numbers in column J. And that would result in a long-term reduction in millage for the wastewater and water treatment plant debt through the remainder of the life of the bonds.
Any questions about the debt? Do I hear a motion?
Oh, I support column J.
Yes. Is that what you mean?
Yep. Yes, I needed a motion.
Okay.
You move?
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor of column J as our millage rate of 2.1616, raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you.
And then the other thing I would ask is the other correction that wasn't part of it was the $20,000 in the planning budget.
Right. Do I hear a motion to add $20,000? Thank you. Second?
Second.
All those in, any discussion? All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you.
A couple of other things. In your packet, the first batch of sheets show the changes that have been made to the budget, and they do reflect these two changes that were just endorsed by the budget committee. We have a series of sheets that cover what the new budget looks like after these adjustments. And so those are, again, reflected in the materials that were distributed for tonight's meeting.
Great. I'll now open up the floor to public comment. Is there any additional public comment? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing for our deliberations. So, I think what we need now, we want to have we talked a little bit last week about the fund balance policy. We did not reach a resolution on that. And help me out here, Spencer, do we have a stack in our original packet from?
Yeah, actually, it's duplicated. I guess it is in the original packet from last meeting. The issue on the budget policy that was brought up at the last meeting was a question on contingency in the general fund. And it was suggested that a 2% contingency in the general fund might not be sufficient since it really takes a true declared emergency in order to spend fund balance. And so the suggestion was that number might be increased a bit. My recommendation as an adjustment to the fund balance committee on the general fund, we showed a 15 to 20% fund balance amount plus a 2% contingency. And what I would recommend is if we increase the contingency to 4%, which I think would be sufficient, that we reduce 2% off that range, so it'd be a 13 to 18% fund balance in the general fund. The intent with the contingency is not to spend it. It's there really for emergency purposes. And so that would be the only modification I would recommend to the proposed policy that was presented at the last budget committee meeting. And it would be appropriate. If this committee wanted to make a recommendation to the city council on that, that would be an appropriate motion to make.
I would move to support Professor Bob's proposal.
Second. And it is under the blue tab, attachment B, fund balance policy, if you're struggling or not. Is there additional conversation about it since we did discuss this last week? Fabulous. All those in favor of adopting the new policy with the changes, raise your hand. Opposed? Great. Now we're down to the exciting part. You didn't know there was an exciting part.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
So Spencer, since this was a recommendation to adopt, are you going to have this as part of the budget adoption process, or is this going to the formal adoption, that is?
Yeah, I think we'll have it to the city council at that same meeting that the budget is adopted.
Great.
So.
Okay.
So it's a recommendation.
So we make
it's a recommendation to adopt, yes.
We have a resolution.
There'll be a resolution.
Correct. Yeah.
Now I will convene the meeting of the Budget Committee for the City of Newport, and this is when I will entertain two motions to approve the budget. They are in your packet on page 64. One motion A is approving the budget for the City of Newport for fiscal year, and then B and C are approving the City General Fund tax levy and the general obligation bond tax. It's in today's handout on page 64.
Okay.
Okay. Do I hear?
I move that the budget committee for the Newport Urban Renewal Agency approve a budget for the fiscal year.
Is this just the city of Newport?
It's just the city right now.
Wrong one.
First one. Okay.
I have a question.
Very
after the motion.
I have a question before the motion.
Laura, what's your question?
We were going to, I had thought, discuss things for next year about
We will
later.
Be doing that.
All right, okay.
We'll do the discussion on development of a multi-year financial plan.
I want to get it in there. Right?
I know. Don't worry.
Is that what your question pertains to?
Yes, I just want to make sure where our place was. Okay. I was getting lost.
Yeah.
I move that the Budget Committee of the City of Newport approve a budget for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2014 and ending June 30, 2015, with a sum total of requirements of $65,206,715, unappropriated fund balance and reserves of $4,977,470, and budget levels for appropriated purposes of $60,229,245 in accordance with the foregoing summary of funds and changes, and the Budget Committee recommends fiscal year 2014-15 budget be adopted by the City Council.
I second with it, $65 million.
Million, not billion.
That would be a lot of money.
I was going to say, I've seen every conference.
Yeah. All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Opposed? Do I hear a motion on B and C?
The Budget Committee for the City of Newport approved taxes provided for the city's budget for fiscal year 2014-15 at the rate of $5.5938 per thousand of assessed value, plus an amount of $2,376,705 from the debt fund in accordance with the following individual general obligation bonds. Wastewater bonded debt 921221, water treatment plant bonded debt 906271, and swimming pool bonded debt 549213.
Second. Was
that? That's it. Okay. I don't have to do that.
All those in favor? Opposed? I will now. Now move into the Budget Committee for the Newport Urban Renewal Agency, and again we have two motions there. Anybody want to read those?
Showing interest again.
Yeah.
You have to give me back my.
I move the Budget Committee of the Newport Urban Renewal Agency approve a budget for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2014. And ending June 30, 2015, and the sum total requirements of $9,854,440, unappropriated ending fund balance and reserves of $2,907,218, and budget levels for appropriation purpose of $6,947,226, in accordance with the foregoing summary of the Newport Urban Renewal Agency fund changes, and that the Budget Committee recommend that the fiscal year 14-15 budget be adopted by the Newport Urban Renewal Agency.
Second.
All those in favor? Opposed? Thank you.
This is why I gave you a I didn't want to do it.
I move that the Budget Committee for the Newport Urban Renewal Agency approves a request for the maximum amount of revenue that may be raised by dividing the taxes under Section 1C, Article 9 of the Oregon Constitution, and no amount to be raised by the imposition of a special levy.
Second.
All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you.
That's why I'm glad
to hear it. Thank you, Nick. Okay, so now we'll move into discussion of thinking about next multi-year planning for the city. In Spencer's memo, if you look at mainly pages 23. He took the issues as he heard them, and he conferred with others, and tried to put them into a structure. Do you want to walk us through it? And this is your chance, Laura, if you don't see something, to make sure, everybody's chance, if you don't see something, make sure it's here so it's on the radar and it can get discussed and you move it forward.
If I could give just a little overview of what the effort is here. First of all, as you know, for this current fiscal year and for the past fiscal year as well, the city has been spending more money than we've been taking in revenue. And so from a long-term standpoint, it's critical that we really develop a plan to address our long-term revenues and our long-term expenditures in order to reverse that that trend from going forward. And so I think the first important thing to understand is that we do, at this current time, we are spending more money than what revenue we have to cover those expenditures. And that's sustainable, you know, certainly in this next year, but it's not sustainable indefinitely, and it's something that we have to address. Secondly, in taking a look at the various issues that we discussed, what I wanted to do is really put together kind of a list of things that I heard from Budget Committee members that were of interest to Budget Committee members this year. This list is really a laundry list of sorts. I would love to say that that we'll be able to do all these next year. The reality is we obviously aren't going to be able to do all these things next year. But I think in understanding what some of the priorities are from members of the Budget Committee and from the City Council and from staff, I think it's important to really have a internal discussion on, you know, what we would need to do in order to move in some of these directions as an organization. I think we have to look both at the revenue picture. I think we have to look also at the expenditure side of the equation to determine, you know, how can we really make our finances fit the within the revenues that are available to fund local government. And so I went through and took a look at the ideas. There were two very specific motions from the Budget Committee that are outlined first. One was to phase out the payment in lieu of franchise fees from water and sewer funds over a 5 to 7 year period, beginning with this 2015-16 fiscal year. And the second item was kind of a companion item, and that's to reduce the dependency of the airport on the general fund over a 3 to 5 year period beginning 2015-16. So those are two specific actions that were taken by the Budget Committee that require to be part of that evaluation going forward. All the other ideas were things that were mentioned during the course of this time period by various Budget Committee members, and I broke them down into operations, staffing, infrastructure, revenues, and budgeting and accounting. I'm not going to go through all these individual items, but if something's on the list, I think that's good, but if there's something that you want to add to this list for us to take a look at during this evaluation, it would be appropriate to add those to the list. The one specific thing I wanted to see if there's concurrence from the Budget Committee and ultimately from the City Council. One of the biggest problems that Bob and I have had with the budget going forward with this year is the sheer number of individual line items that we're using in this budget. It far exceeds anything Bob's ever used. It's far exceeded anything I've used. I think it ends up by rounding, inflating what our budget needs actually are, because instead of having, you know, 10 line items for a departmental budget, we have 75 items for a department. And one of the things that I would like us to do is take a look at restructuring our accounting system so that we can consolidate some of these line items for purposes of our accounting and for budgeting. And again, I'd like to know if there's any objections to us proceeding in that direction, because that's what I would like to do, present a plan to do that back to the City Council. Secondly, on the other hand, on the revenue line items, we have just a handful of general fund revenue items. We really should have revenue items so we can isolate revenues coming into various departmental purposes so that we can see, you know, how much revenue are we getting for this thing versus what the expenses are for this item. And right now, we cannot, with our accounting system, cannot analyze that appropriately. And so while I want to put our expenditure line items on a diet. I think we need to beef up our revenue line items so that we can really track things closely that way. Two other items. One is the creation of two internal funds, one for our technology expenses, and then the second one for our facilities expenses. The facilities expenses relates also to the questions that we're currently dealing with the VAC and the PAC, and also for our other buildings. We don't have a way right now to conveniently understand what the costs are of operating City Hall or what the costs are for operating as far as the physical plant for these other facilities. And so that's something that we want to take a look at doing as well. And then the last item is, I think going forward in next year's budget, one of the things I want to try to work through is we have a lot of departments that are putting contingency amounts in individual line items. And I think Ralph has pointed out some of his pet line items along those line items. I think we really should be doing that so that we are estimating what we think we're going to spend and then use the contingency of the fund to appropriate additional funds if that's necessary through the course of the year. But that's one thing that we'll be focusing on going forward in the next fiscal year. But those are the key specific kind of accounting and budget items. I wouldn't mind getting a little feedback on that tonight to prepare a recommendation for the council coming up with the approval of the budget.
Sandy?
Well, do you want to break it down? Like on the first one, would you like a motion or a recommendation on the first one that you delete line items?
If you want to do that,
For revenue line items, you add two, so you can put those two together.
Then I can do a motion, yep.
Yeah. That's
you brought
motion.
It up.
Okay. My motion is that we take Spencer's recommendation to delete line items for the spending and to add line items for revenue.
Second. Any discussion?
Just a comment. I have no objection to everything that was recommended. Maybe we can make one motion to cover everything if that's amenable to everyone else.
Yeah. So sounds good to me.
Okay. And everything else.
Could you phrase it that you would recommend adopting the items under 5.0 of budget and accounting?
Right. That's fine.
And second.
Yes, second. Third, fourth,
fifth. We have Mark and then Chuck.
And I have a question. So I certainly agree with reducing the number of line items. I just simply wanted to point out that as we transition to that, there may then be a need to be a little bit more descriptive of what got consolidated into those various categories, because then Ralph won't be able to find his old projects or whatever. And I bring that up because, I've been through budget processes where, particularly, say, grants with the federal government, you list it as travel, and then they have specifics on detail that you have to give them, in a description or whatever, how much of it's going to be out of state or what have you. And I'm not suggesting that we try to retain all the detail, simply that as we move into this simplified process, those kinds of questions are likely to come up.
Yeah, I just wanted, a point of clarification. When something's in the capital budget as a line item in the budget, capital improvements, we thought at Dyke Pen as an example that it's helpful to have the Sherrill project as a capital project so that you can actually see a project and funding and a track record in light of that project being something that's looked at being continued for 3 or 4 years as the Sherrill project gets integrated. So I'm just curious how that relates to the philosophy, and is that type of an item in the capital improvements category as a line item still appropriate as opposed to the other small tools and supplies?
Yeah, I think I want to talk a little bit about Mark's issue first, and I'll go into the second issue on capital outlay. What we would do on consolidation of accounts is certainly consolidate existing accounts. So we'll have first of all, we'll have history because we'll be able to consolidate that for the historical years as well. So it's not like we're going to have a whole new chart of accounts. It's just going to be a fewer numbers, and we'll consolidate those for all, showing what the historical expenses have been for that line item. So that's pretty capable. Secondly, with the Casella system, on any individual items, we can run breakdowns by vendor of what's charged to that account. I don't want to tell Ralph this, but we can charge, we can do reports showing what vendors have been charged against any items, line items as well. And so from that standpoint, I don't think we need all the line items for the budgetary purposes that we've had before, because we've got other means to evaluate what's being charged to an individual line item. On the issue of capital outlay, one of the key issues with capital outlay, and one of the things that that we want to get started with in this next fiscal year, is really being a lot more visible on our capital outlay projects, so that we are tracking, and so that the council and myself and the public can track how we're spending money on specific capital outlay projects. So when we're looking at capital outlay going forward, we're going to be having individual line items for individual capital outlay projects, and that's still kind of a project that's in the evolutionary stages. This year was our first year at taking a stab at that with the budget has been approved by this group. So some things, some of the smaller things like the Cheryl's were part of other line items. I think going forward, my preference on those very specific purposes would be to have them in a capital outlay budget so that you can follow that. So that's something that we'll develop as we prepare for the budget next year. And this year, we made a big stab at it, and we're going to, again, try to improve on the way that we report the status of all these capital outlay projects so that everyone has an idea of what's going on. I think that's going to be really critical going forward with the emphasis we have on infrastructure rebuilding. I think the public needs to know how their dollars that we're collecting for water and sewer rates are being used to spend on specific projects and what the status of those projects are. And so you'll see some different types of reports coming forward with that with our next fiscal year, this coming up this next fiscal year.
I would just agree with what Chuck was saying. I think it's hard to track the capital projects, and the taxpayers want to know where that money is going. I think the school district actually did a very good job with their bond spending and communicating out progress on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's something that we've taken a look at, and we're going to try to duplicate something along those lines for our purposes.
Ralph?
Just to clarification, when you said you wanted to set up a facilities fund, were you talking about just for the general fund, taking the facilities out of the general fund, or all the facilities across the budget, which include like rec facilities,
well, the rec
report and all that, put them in another fund?
Yeah, we've got kind of a bit of a mishmash right now. And it's something that right now, if a boiler goes out at the rec center, it's being charged to the general fund facilities. Or if we've got to do a repair. So basically, this would be a service fund that would be outside the general fund, and then there'd be charges back to the appropriate funds for the services provided. So that's what's intended with the service, with an internal service fund. And Bob and I talked about that, and I think it'll make things, I think, a lot clearer going forward than what we have right now.
Any other discussion of the motion?
So just to clarify, that motion was just 5.0 budget and accounting and all the items under that.
Yes.
Okay.
All those in favor of recommending 5.0 budgeting and accounting items, raise your hand. Opposed? Thank you.
And then I guess the next part is just adding any other items to this long-term laundry list for us to take a look at during the course of this next, next fiscal year.
I think the one that I would just, given our last conversation, 1.4, transportation system, you just talked about availability. I think I would like to add something about a better reporting in general, so it makes we can see that it's serving the needs that we have at Plain Newport. We all support public transit, but we have limited dollars, and so is it, what are our needs, and how is that working? Laura, this is your chance.
Oh, gosh, I've been waiting, Anyway, my thing under staffing, I didn't see anything about the possibility of emergency operations manager or coordinator, somebody solely dedicated to that.
My suggestion, because I had emergency services, it's not, I don't know what really falls under staffing, because I think a lot of it is a collaborative process.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to get away from. I'm looking for one person who can take it all and put it together. Because right now, it's my impression that we have a lot of little quilt pieces all over town. They're doing beautifully, but it is not all coordinated. And I understand it that our emergency operations plan is coming up for review and it needs to be done, or we're going to lose some FEMA funding. I mean, there's just a lot of things that one person is needed keep track of all that.
Yep.
There's a lot of details also.
And I did intend that to be on the list. I thought I had combined it with the fire discussion, but no, I think that's appropriate to have on the list.
All right, thank you.
And so maybe couching it in terms of the review would be the appropriate way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Interview until I get it.
So on the revenue, are we just kind of going whichever category you want?
I think just pick out whatever you want.
So on the revenue category, it looks like for 4.5, Spencer, you captured somewhat what Don had put in his memo that he handed out to everyone last meeting. That was, I think, something that he passed around.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of what you're capturing in Don's memo?
Correct.
Okay. Just expand on that, because this was discussed at the task force, with the infrastructure task force. We also talked about the issue of additional revenue, but we also spoke to specifically capturing more tourism dollars to help pay for infrastructure. And I think there were some tax options that were available, not room tax, but some other tax options that the task force at least wanted to consider as we move forward. So I would probably just as a subset of that talk about tourism dollars specifically with respect to paying for infrastructure needs as a component of the larger issue.
Okay, I'm gonna add that.
Any other comments or additions?
I just got a question, and I'm not sure where it would fit, but about this time last year, we were looking at fire apparatus replacement funding. And it was kind of kicked off to the infrastructure task force, but then after the first few meetings of the infrastructure task force, it was deleted as a part of the agenda there. And I don't know where that fits, but I know it's something that we really need.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be appropriate under the as an infrastructure item, and that's creating the reserves necessary, not only for the fire department, but for other facilities as well.
Apparatus.
It was apparatus. It was. Spencer, we didn't include it in the infrastructure because the scope of our task was to deal with facilities and infrastructure, not specific equipment or apparatus. We felt that was a separate issue that really wasn't under our scope of work.
I made it apparatus and equipment.
But we talked about
rolling stock management.
At the council level, we definitely talked about that.
So I think that it could go under operations because it is operations.
I'm not, well, whatever Spencer.
Other comments? I think you did it. I had my running list, and I was kind of going through, and I think you did a good job of capturing most of this issue. I don't think we need a motion for this.
And this list will grow as we have further discussions, but I just want to make sure I captured what we had talked about as part of the budget.
Question.
Right.
Could I just dream this? Did I hear a suggestion somewhere in this process that we might have a midterm budget committee meeting to discuss?
Not a midterm budget committee, but what I intend to do is provide a report back to the city council in November.
That's right.
Yeah, on this particular issue. And then I think it's going to take some public involvement once we have a base report together to flesh things out prior to really putting together the budget for 2015-16 year. So.
Okay, thanks. I just have to remember to do our budget.
Oregon statute kind of defines what the budget committee can do.
Okay.
But there could definitely be, I think, another maybe working group. It seems to me that this, these recommendations would fit into the city council goal setting when that happens and revisiting of them then, how they really marry up with that.
So Spencer, what you plan on doing is just internally at the staff level, go through this and come back to the council in November, and then in November the council could decide whether it wants to get more of the public or certain stakeholders engaged, or if you want some of that engagement prior to November.
No, actually, I'm looking for as little engagement as I can prior to November, because from my standpoint, what I need to do is really make sure I'm understanding all the pieces to the puzzle. And I think once we have the pieces, then I think that's the appropriate time for public engagement to come in to make some, get some feedback on what some of these alternatives are. So what I plan to put together is really a list of alternatives and with some specific recommendations to float as a trial balloon. And I think at that point, people will be able to respond to that sort of thing. But there's a lot of homework that I feel I've got to do before I would feel confident having a meaningful discussion like that.
So my only, I guess, comment to that would be, I think internal review is good, but I'm wondering if you wait till November to get back to the council, and we have the next budget process starting in January, how much time are we really going to be leaving for public engagement? Because we've got the December and the holidays, and you know, I guess what I'm saying is, public engagement to me is a long-term process. It's not just something you check off on a box for and just, you know, for a month. It's something that's more than that.
No, and I would agree with you on that, but the plan that I'm bringing back for you isn't a plan for the next budget year. It's planned for the next, you know, 5 or 6 year period.
Okay.
So it's really a long-term window,
okay.
And that's going to help guide a little bit what decisions we have to make in 2015-16.
Okay.
And so I think, you know, from, again, these. And then the other thing I wanted to correct, too, I think I had mentioned somewhere, there would be a couple periodic reports to the council prior to November as well, but my goal is to have kind of a baseline report, have some meaningful projections about where our finances are going, taking a look at what our personnel costs are, taking a look at what our material costs are, fuel costs, taking a look at our growth of revenues, and starting to chart those out so that we can see, you know, where these lines are crossing and where we need to address issues going forward. And so having that comprehensive document would be in place outlining those issues. Like I said, I would hope to have that to the council in November. But it's, you know, it's really a longer term issue than just the next budget.
Just one suggestion, and this is just a suggestion, is as you're going through that internal review, I would still think that if you felt you could reach out to some folks in the community that have a lot of background and experience informally, that might be helpful.
Yeah.
Nothing formal, but just informal discussions as part of that internal review. I don't think that would prevent you from doing that.
No, absolutely not. So, and I would really depend on talking to a number of people through this process.
Okay, good.
I guess I would also suggest using your committee structure. Or any existing task forces, committees that, so like with Bike and Ped, if they had a report back from you on how to actually read the budget and how to track projects.
No, I think that's an excellent idea, because I think we have a lot of advisory committees. I think we've been utilizing those advisory committees as a city, and this is perfect fodder. When we're looking at long-term planning, it's perfect fodder for those groups to engage in that discussion.
Chuck.
Kind of along those lines that were like that committee meeting last night, we spent a lot of time talking about the bus service, transit service, and we thought maybe we would consider offering our services to the city council to expand our mission statement that might include alternate forms of transportation to be under our umbrella so that we can, you know, help make the bus system a little more viable. And with our user groups, there's, you know, bike racks on the bus, a lot of people that walk and ride bikes are bus-oriented people more than not. And we just thought it might be kind of interesting to broaden that mission statement to include alternate forms of transportation, including the bus. And then
the committee would become the non-car committee.
Yes.
Buses, bikes, and
I mean, there's been things over the years talked about, like water taxi and things like that. It just gives us a little broader umbrella for us to kind of poke at. And then The other item that just as a general curiosity, the 3.0 infrastructure, 3.7, the city needs to focus on bike and pedestrian improvements. When I see that, that's great. I mean, that's what we like to do on our, in our committee. And could you expand a little bit on how that, how the city does that? Is that us looking for more grants or being more receptive to things that are out there? How does that present itself moving forward as it relates to that?
Yeah, I 3.7. Think, again, the list in front of you are really things that I've reflected on this that I've heard from you.
I see.
So the issue going forward is, where do we go with these things? And that's part of the, you know, things that we have to deal with, I think, internally. And then try to figure out what we can do and what we can't do going forward. And then take a look at alternatives. So, you know, this is really just, I don't want to put too much importance on this list, you know, because it really is just reflecting of what I heard during our budget meetings. And these are things that I want to try to speak to in this evaluation going forward.
Any other comments on the list? Then let's just move on to just evaluation of the process and general comments. Again, Spencer did outline some here. My big issue was all of the material that we got after the first meeting was a little difficult to digest in 1 week. And one suggestion is to have a 2 week period between the first and the second meeting. One that would be easier on city staff that did a great job. I was finally getting around to reading more of that supplemental that was doodled this last weekend, and people really did try to answer questions. So I think I would have been better informed if I had a little bit more time.
You talk between the first and second meeting?
Yes.
I think probably Spencer could have used more time as well.
I think we're all very enthused about that.
I think that was comes from both ends on that one.
Right.
I felt the same way.
Same here. Yeah. It was information overload. Bob.
I also think there'll be fewer of those placements on the list next year because the budget is getting into a pretty good format. And I think the concerns are going to be leveled. And I think that Spencer's done a hell of a job in getting this thing turned in the right direction. So I don't believe we're going to have a shopping cart full of issues next year. I think we're going to have some really solid concerns, and they're going to start right on the doggone infrastructure for the water and sewer, because when they get the first bill, the phones are going to be ringing off the hook.
Spencer, this might not be pertaining specifically to the budget committee's process, but following up on Janet's point about getting the committees more involved with your kind of internal review, for next year's proposed budget, perhaps touching base with the committees that perhaps have some involvement with the different budget funds and get their feedback, in addition to the feedback you get from staff, could be helpful. Kind of use the committees on for several purposes. I just think that might be good. There's a lot of folks on those committees with good ideas that might help inform you on things in putting the proposed budget together. So I would suggest that as well.
On that issue, in fact, I mentioned that to the airport committee at our last meeting. We do have these advisory committees that we just aren't utilizing as fully as we should. And if we're not going to use them, then should we have the committees or not? But I think that a process of funneling these through the committees is something that we're going to try to structure in the schedule. So I agree that would be a beneficial thing and give a little more feedback. Probably prior to the department submitting them to me. So
I would say to Bob's point, because we know we're going to have to raise the rates, the more people that understand why, it does help. And so it is, again, that involvement. People understand we've been spending more than we take in, and we also cannot upgrade the infrastructure that has served us well, but almost every city is looking at the same infrastructure up demise. So I think more people will understand that, then there'll always be phone calls. But maybe you have more people who are understanding where we are in terms of city finances.
Sandy. On the process, I thought it was very effective with the listing that we did. Although it took us 3 hours to go through the 65 last meeting.
and but voting on each one, having each one looked at, and the terrific job that Spencer and the staff did in answering every one of those questions that we had was incredibly valuable. And I would like to see that done again. Is that how you usually do that?
Yeah. This is the process I've utilized before. What I think works about this process, and if we cut down from, say, 75 line items to the department to 10, we'll get through that in the first night through the entire budget. But I think this gives everyone a chance to raise the issues that they have concerns about, gives us a chance to respond to those issues, and then it brings it back to the committee, and the committee can make a decision whether there should be a change. And I think it gives everyone their day in court on their idea. And so I would really like to continue using this format, with some tweaks and changes. But if everyone feels this was a good format for this year, this is the type of format I am comfortable using, and we'll plan to use it in the future.
Good format. Mark.
So in terms of, I guess, continuing that thought. I had a number of people throughout the community who point blank asked me about this year's review process compared to last year, and they were absolutely thrilled and amazed when they heard the process we went through at that first meeting, going through line by line, making a list of issues, bringing it back. And to me, that meant an awful lot to have people just literally just hearing about the differences in the process and, you know, basically sharing how much in favor they were of the job that was done this year.
I know everybody wants more time, but the place I like to have more time is between when I first get it in the first meeting, because that's when most of your personal analysis is done and you put the questions on the list. If you only have 3 days or something, that can be hard for people. And I realize also we keep stretching things out, but that would be nice. And graphical format is always shortens up the thinking process.
Fred.
Just want to say one thing, and that is that just kind of looking ahead to see where this is going, it appears to me that the process that you instituted here this year dovetails perfectly with the financial plan. It's kind of hanging out there with outlines. And also, one thing that hasn't really been mentioned up to this point, and that is that this financial plan will feed into your department managers. And they should have input into this financial plan as well. Because how can they ask for more money if they haven't got a plan? And it's all funnels perfectly and should work just like grease in a tin horn. Is that good? I cleaned it up.
Unless it's rustic. Any other comments on process? With that, I'd like to thank Spencer. I know it's been a very steep learning curve.
It's been a very interesting ride. So I also have to give Bob Gazewood and Linda a ton of credit. This Bob was a great mentor for me in getting through the my first Oregon budget, and in Oregon they do some things differently. So he kept me kind of in line with what needed to be done. And there were things I wanted to do that Bob said, "Well, I don't think we can do this in Oregon." But the things that we wanted to do, we managed to figure a way to work through those. So I appreciate Bob's efforts. He put in a lot of extra hours here to get this done, and I think next year, from a timing standpoint, I think the process will, even before it comes to this committee, will go quite a bit quicker. And Linda was a workhorse through this process as well. And we were changing formats and we were doing a number of things and to try to put the budget together in a little different way. And so I really want to express my appreciation to both Bob and Linda, and as well as the departments, because we had them doing different things this year and submitting information to us as well. And a lot of the stuff that the budget committee doesn't see are, you know, in these binders with details on staffing plans and capital outlay and equipment purchases. But I'm glad we're at this point in the budget process, because I don't know how much more budgeting time I could spend on working through things. But I think this was a good effort, and I think next year's effort will be, you know, even better production at all levels. So
I think the presentation to City Council and City Council discussion is on June 16th. So if anybody decides the councilors, we'll have to be there. Maybe I'll.
We have to be there.
I'm hoping they'll be there. We will be presenting our recommendations at that time. So thank you to everybody, and I concur. But thank you so much to Linda and Bob and Cooper and Bob. I don't think you're going to be here next year, but if you are, we'll be happy to see you.
So Janet, I'm sorry. Before you adjourn, so. Did you want, as chair of the committee, did you want to present the recommendations to the council, or did you want Spencer to do it on your behalf? I think it actually be.
Spencer and I have discussed that, and I'll be presenting.
Good. I think that actually is a good idea. The chairs in the past have done something similar, so that's good.
Yeah. No, I said it was my budget when it was proposed. The chair for the presentation.
I guess I would only say if more than a. Well, I'm not sure how many budget committee members are going to be there, but I guess. Just don't join me, that has to be noticed.
Just
put the chair, and I'm looking at Peggy on this.
We can notice it as a joint meeting.
I'm just wondering if enough of a formal presentation is given, you'd have to just be cognizant of that.
I do not anticipate a formal, that long a presentation, but just with the highlights on the policies, recommendations, as well as the numbers.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right.
Next year, maybe it won't be quite so warm. Thank you everybody for your help, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I almost want to give a hand to it.
I'm going to sit on the deck with Jumbo.
Pleased to hear.